Hello and welcome. I am Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and I want to take this time to address the impact rejection has in a person's life and the impact receiving has in a person's life. And I'm just going to jump right into this directional aim and share why it's important for individuals not to reject what God is giving them, because once a person rejects whatever God sent to them, whatever God's doing for them, whatever God wants to do through them, if a person rejects that, they can't receive the benefits associated with obedience of what God was going to do in them, to them, through them, and for them. And if you've been in a situation, just a natural example, if you've been in a situation where you wanted to do something for someone and what you had planned for them was so grand and so great and they rejected you and rejected what you were trying to do, although they don't know all the, aspects of what you had planned for them, when they made the decision to reject you, they rejected everything that comes with you. And if they were able to, let's say, just stick around just out of curiosity to see what was going to come out of whatever you were trying to give them, sometimes when they see, man, that came from that, what do some people try to do? They try to come back around you and talk to you and be nice and, oh, I didn't know. If I would have known, I would have. But that's neither here or there, The fact of the matter is they rejected you. And when they rejected you or whatever you were trying to do for them or with them, and it yielded some grand consequences, benefit, result, they missed out on that. And although they could look at, oh man, I mean, I want to be a part of that, I want to do that, when they rejected you, they really blocked themselves out of a blessing, because now they can't come back. They can't come in. I'm not saying a person's going to be disrespectful to them, they're not going to speak to them, but now there's a boundary set up, because individuals cannot receive what they reject. Now, if that is true for us in this natural realm, we know God is supernatural. And when he manifests in our lives, it's seen in the natural. But if it's true for us and we're natural people, the same is true for God. We have scriptures letting us know that when an individual rejects anything of God, they don't receive what God has. And it can sound just harsh, straight to the point, but that's just what it is. There's no sugarcoating it. It's no trying to make it sound good to make somebody feel better about what they're not doing. It's just what it is. When a person rejects what God is trying to provide for them, in them, to them, through them, for them, if they reject that, they don't receive what God has in store or had in store or what God was trying to give them. It doesn't go that way. And yes, it sounds harsh, but it's just a truth that we need to be mindful of. That's just how it goes down. A scripture that I'm thinking about, this the Holy Spirit is reminding me about, is 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter in the 10th verse. And this is great because it goes into what I wanted to share with you. But in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter in the 10th verse, it says, now he, referring to God the Father, now he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, that is, your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in act of goodness, kindness, and love. So right there, God is letting us know that He will always provide us with seed. God has blessed you with gifts, blessed me with gifts, to use and utilize in order for us to be productive citizens, not only in society, but in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, to glorify God and to bring others to Christ. So God is not going to give you assignments to glorify Him and promote Him and for you to live a righteous lifestyle without Him providing for you. And He gives us what we need in order to sow those skills, those gifts, those abilities, that obedience, that righteousness, so that we can increase in this earth's realm. But if we take what God gives us, whatever seeds He's giving you, because with any seed, you have to sow it, you have to plant it, you have to bury it, you have to trust God, you have to water it. When those seeds are given to us, we have a responsibility. If we reject what God gives us in order to elevate in life and glorify Him and impact others, if we take what God gives and we reject the gifts He's given us, we won't receive what that harvest could become. Because with every seed, if we think about any type of fruit or vegetable where you have to plant a seed, you have to sow a seed. And one thing about a seed is only a fraction, a representative of what is to come. And I talked about this in the podcast previously entitled Seed Snatcher. And I think I possibly touched on it in the Predatory Pernicious Planter. But God gives a seed. It's up to us to walk in obedience and receive what God has given us. Because remember, that seed is a representative, a fraction of what is to come when we obey, when we trust, when we walk in faith. And when that seed sprouts, grows, and comes to maturity, it's a harvest that far exceeds the seed. But God already knew what He was doing. He gave us something to work with in faith because He already knew what it would become. When a person receives the seed from God, or seeds from God, and they reject it. So what I mean by that is the seeds are given to them, but they reject the power of God. They reject what they need to do. They reject the power of the seed. They reject the power of the one who gave it to them. They just reject it all around. They won't receive it in faith. They'll just reject it. When a person rejects what was just given to them, they don't receive the benefits associated with what's to come. That's just how it goes down. And that's something for us all to be mindful of, because God grants us and blesses us with things on a daily basis. Sometimes we could miss what He's doing because some seeds don't look like the harvest that we want. And we could make the mistake of rejecting something if we're operating in our own strength. But that's why it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will prompt you to do some things that you wouldn't do in your own self-effort. But when the Holy Spirit is leading you and you are being led and you're letting the Holy Spirit guide you with the seeds God gave you, and you're doing what you need to do, even though it doesn't look like anything's going to spring up from it, a harvest is on the way. But a person is able to enjoy that because they didn't reject what God gave them. They received it with joy, with gladness, in faith, in hope, and just straight up obedience, even though they possibly couldn't see or understand. They just, oh, the Holy Spirit leading me to this. I don't understand why I have this prompting to do this. This is not normal. Let me just go ahead and do this. Let me just go ahead and just plant this seed, whatever it may be. And you would know what those seeds are when the Holy Spirit reveals them to you. We don't want to reject what God is doing for us, to us, through us, and in us, because it doesn't look like what we think it should look like. And then when whatever that seed grows and becomes, with or without one's help, they won't receive what God was trying to do because they rejected it. So a person cannot receive what they reject. It's just, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Now, you have some people who understand that they rejected some things, and that's why they haven't received some things, and they take full responsibility, and they're accountable, and they go to God and ask God for forgiveness, and the Lord knows how to come through and give another person a chance to do something a different way for him to get something to them. But then you have some individuals who just are bold, brazen, audacious, disrespectful, and won't take any responsibility, won't be held accountable for anything, and they'll blame everybody for even trying to give them the seed because you want me to receive something and then they're rejected, and it's everybody's fault. And I'm pretty sure you've possibly met some individuals like that, or there could have been a time where you were like that. And I believe in my life, I've probably done both of them. Understood I did something wrong. Man, Lord, could you give me another chance? Another opportunity comes up. I'm making sure to receive what God has given me. I'm making sure not to reject it because, hey, I am not about to mess this up, okay? And then there have been times where I just didn't want to, face the music. I didn't want to say or acknowledge the fact that, man, I messed that up. So I'm trying to find all these loopholes. Or it's somebody else's fault. But that doesn't even last too long because I could do all of that. And before the day is up, the week is up, the hour is up, the minute is up, I'm repenting, and I can see full well, hey, this was wrong, and it was all me. It was all me. I did it. But some people don't do that. They rather walk in self-pride, self-pity, and not take responsibility. And all the while, by them doing that, they're rejecting repentance and they're rejecting what they could have received if they just would have repented and turned their heart to God and did what they needed to do. So it's all about being led by the Holy Spirit and being accountable. But no one is going to receive what they reject. God is bringing something to a person to bless them, to help them. And we already know in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, in the 8th through the 9th verse, and it says, "For this is God speaking to us, letting us know, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God has his way of doing things, but we also have to remember what John the 14th chapter and the 26th verse says. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," Jesus' name, "he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." So we might not know everything. We might not understand everything. But one thing about the Holy Spirit, and that's in Romans, the 8th chapter also. It's Romans, the 8th chapter in the 14th verse. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So we have a lot of things working here. We have the Holy Spirit leading us. We have God's thoughts and ways. And we have some seeds. And we understand that whatever God gives us to produce in this earth's realm, we're to do that. But if he gives us those seeds and we don't produce and we reject what he's given us, we don't receive what comes from the harvest and the maturity of the very thing he wanted to do and manifest in our life. So we have a part to play in it. Will we walk in obedience? Will we walk in accountability? Will we walk in faith? Or will we disobey God? See what God was trying to do in us, to us, through us, and for us, as far as his manifestation and his power. And then we just get upset because now it's our fault, but I mean, God ain't doing nothing for me. He never does anything for me. Well, we know that's a lie. It's all about being accountable. Now, if it works with people doing it to one another, it's the same thing, if not more, greater, with God. If you have two people who one is doing something for the other, or trying to do something for the other, and that person rejects it, and they don't receive what that person, all what that person has to offer, even the maturity of what they were trying to do, the increase of what they're trying to bring to that person. It's just how it goes down. I'm trying to think of some examples. Okay, I don't have to think. Here's some right here. This is one. You have a person who you want to bless. I know I just gave, you know, a general example, but I'm going to be more specific right now. Let's say it's somebody you really want to bless. You came up on some delicious chocolates, let's say. Delicious chocolates you found. Now, they are pretty pricey. But they are so good. You're like, man, these are so good. Man, these are good. And you're spending some money on these chocolates. And they're healthy. I'm talking about really healthy. Great ingredients. It's probably only 5 ingredients in there. All natural. All organic. And it's sweet. And it's good. Yeah, I like chocolate. And I like this particular brand. Yes, I do. But you just so excited about this chocolate and you want to share it with a particular person. So the reason you want to share with this person is because this person always talking about, oh, I like this chocolate. Oh, it's just so smooth. It tastes so good. Talking about different brands. And you're like, you know what? I really want to bless this person with this chocolate. So you buy some and you give it to them. They eat it. Oh, that was good. That's what they're telling you. Oh, that was real good. That was delicious. Da-da-da-da. So you're like, okay. When I order some more or when I go pick up some more, I'm going to get them a few more bars. Because when you gave it to them that first time, they received it. They didn't reject it. So now it's like you're an open valve. You want to bless them some more because they appreciated what you gave them. Okay? Now it's your second go round. You know, hey, okay, yeah, that's good. You got some more though? Yeah, that's real good, you know? Third go around. You up the, I guess, chocolate blessing because now you're giving them some more things that this company offers. You're like, try this. This is good. Because if you like that, you're going to like this. They eat it. And they start frowning. And yeah, it's just too sweet. See, that's crazy to me, man. Chocolate's supposed to be sweet. How is it too sweet? That's just me. That's just me. Especially when you're looking at the back of the label and you see it's ingredients in here to make it sweet just for your pleasure. But anyway, it's just too sweet. I don't know. It's too chocolatey. Ugh. I don't know. And that wrapping, that wrapper, I mean, that's kind of some expensive packaging. You know what just happened as that was taking place. When that person starts talking about the wrapper and the packaging, and it's too chocolatey. It's too sweet. I just don't know. Where they from? You know what they did? They rejected it. And you know what's going to happen? Not what's going to happen, what has happened. Okay? They don't receive anymore. That's just how it goes down. Because they complained from a blessing. Nobody had to go get them anything. If it weren't for... And I don't say this arrogantly. If you were the one buying the chocolate, if it weren't for you, they wouldn't even know about that. They don't even go to the stores. They don't even have the gas money to get to the stores that you go to even go inquire about that kind of brand. But they had the audacity to disrespect what you were doing for them because you wanted to bless them. What's this? It'd be one thing if you gave them some chocolate bars that were made of dirt and chemicals. And then when you presented it to them, you allowed the raccoon that you were trying to trap in your attic. You allowed that raccoon to take a couple of bites off of it and then... You went to go present that to them, that chocolate bar to them. I can understand an individual being upset about something like that because that is something to be upset about. That is something to reject. And that is something to complain about. But not when they've been receiving something. And then all of a sudden, they want to reject it. And sometimes people reject things because they're talking to raggedy relatives who are jealous of them. So when they go share what they're receiving or what they have. Oh, you eat that? Oh, that's hot. I wouldn't even do all that. All that money they spend on packaging. There's nothing wrong with this little raggedy, you know, saran wrapped chocolate made of dirt and chemicals. I mean, me and my family been eating it for years and we just fine. I mean, who you think you are eating all that? So a person could have received that and then they want to reject your gift. But the point is that when a person rejects something, they don't get to receive it. And what happens is you cut them off. If you're the one purchasing the chocolate bar, the clothes for the person, the shoes for the person, the hairstyles for the person, the products for the person, you're providing the resources for the person or their family, and they reject you, they don't get to receive it. Because in the rejection, it's showing that they don't want to receive it. And sometimes people learn that lesson a little too late, because after they reject it, the water stops flowing. And when the water stops flowing, and other people who were connected to them, who were benefiting from it, they start getting on them. They tell them, hey, go open up the valve. Go do what you need to go do. But once they reject it, it's cut off. That's just how it goes. But we don't want to do that with our Heavenly Father. That's why we want to walk in discernment, walk in revelation. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want to be led by God. That's what we want to do. And I encourage you to read Romans, the 8th chapter. Read Romans, the 8th chapter in its entirety, so you can have an understanding or gain an understanding or be reminded on the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and how you're victorious when you walk with the Holy Spirit and do what the Holy Spirit advises you to do. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you away from God. Okay? That's just what it is. Let me give you a couple of more examples, just for relatability purposes only, of individuals rejecting something but wanting to receive the very thing they rejected. It doesn't work that way. Say you have a so-called friend and you're trying to share some things with this so-called friend. It could be some things that you are experiencing in life, some things that you want God to do for you, some things you're excited about. And you share that information, whatever it may be, with a person who you thought was a trusted friend, a trusted family member, trusted coworker, whatever it is. You share that information, and when the person who's listening to you share that information, that dream, that vision, that obstacle that you know you're getting through, you're sharing all of that with them. The very thing you're believing for, you're sharing that with them. And as you're speaking, the only reason you shared it with them in the first place too is because they keep talking about, oh, God is so powerful. God is so great. Because you got to have faith. You got to have faith, because God is just, he's remarkable. He comes through on time. He's a great God. He's a good God. So you looking like, man, you know what? Let me go ahead and share this with them. I'm praying for you. You gotta be mindful of that. You go ahead and share it. And the very one who was doing all of that, you shared this with them, thinking that you had a solid person you were speaking to. They start to doubt you. Let me say this, because a person can doubt all day long, but when it's a person who's talking about how powerful God is and how great God is and what God can do and how they know God got some great things in store for you, because you really be trying to obey God. You dynamic. I'm praying for you. You go share something with them, whatever it is, some kind of dream, vision, plan, obstacle that you know you're getting through, something you're excited about. Those very ones disrespect you. They tell you something along the lines of, God's not going to do that for you. Who do you think you are? Why would you believe something like that? I know it's exciting that you know, experiencing that, but yeah, man, it's not going to happen for you because you're not doing it the world's way. It's just... Now, if you choose to converse with that person, if you choose to, because if you're anything like me, but if you choose to converse with that individual, that person can't receive anything you have going on. Why? Because they rejected what you just shared with them. And if you can't cut that person off, and they are somebody in your family who you care about, what they've done is they've restricted themselves. They've restricted themselves where they don't get everything that you would have given them because they rejected you. They didn't receive what you were sharing with them. So even when you are progressing with the seeds God gave you, you're progressing in the dream, the vision, the obstacle, you're prevailing, you're promoted, You know what they do?
Oh, so how's that going?
I mean, pride wants to just throw it in their face. Oh, I'm doing this because you said I couldn't. Yeah, that's what pride will do. You know, being upset will do that. But sometimes you don't even have to speak of what God's doing for you. What God is doing for you will speak for itself. But that happens when people do that. They want to know, so how's that going? So how is everything? I mean, are you excited about it? I mean, you know. Mm-mm. They don't get to receive that. And even if you do give them a fraction of something you have going on, they still don't get the full thing because you understand what they rejected. And it has nothing to do with not forgiving them. You just know you can't handle it. Just like the example with the chocolate. Say you didn't love the person or didn't care about the person anymore. Still pray for them, but they get no chocolate. They don't get it. Just like with this example, they don't get the information. They don't get the updates. They don't get the progress reports. They don't get the praise reports. They just get the general draw. It's good. All is well. God sure is coming through. So what do you mean by, like, what he coming through? Like, what exactly did he do? What you said he couldn't do? That's what he doing. See, but you can't get caught up in that because there's something else. But you understand what I'm saying. That kind of stuff happens. But we don't want to do that. That's what we don't want to do. And in Mark, the 6th chapter, we see how individuals who rejected Jesus, they didn't get to receive what he had. And it's Mark, the 6th chapter, in the 1st through the 6th verse. I'm going to read that. It says, Jesus left there and came to his hometown, Nazareth, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who listened to him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, this knowledge and spiritual insight? What is this wisdom, this confident understanding of the scripture that has been given to him and such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are his sisters not here with us? And they were deeply offended by him. And their disapproval blinded them to the fact that he was anointed by God as the Messiah. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, respect, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. Let me read that again. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, respect, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could not do a miracle there at all because of their unbelief, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He wondered at their unbelief. So Jesus wondered at their unbelief, and he was going around in the villages teaching. So you just heard that. But we have an understanding that Jesus was teaching people. And as he's teaching with authority, he's teaching in power, he knows what he's talking about. He has a relationship with Father God. He speaks with power. He's walking in boldness, access, confidence, and strength, glory and honor. And he's in his hometown doing this, and people of the hometown or in the hometown are, I mean, who was that? That ain't nobody but Jesus. That's Jesus, man. I grew up with him. I seen him around. I know about his mama. I know about his earthly father. I know about his brothers and his sisters. He not all that. Why y'all listening to this man like he's something? I mean, we get all this power and insight from anyway. What makes him special? Why y'all looking up to him? See, they were disapproving because they made Jesus common in their mind. And by them doing that and taking offense because of their own pride and problems, they rejected Jesus. They rejected the power of God operating through the Anointed One. They rejected it. And by we're still in Mark, the sixth chapter, the first is the sixth verse, by these individuals taking offense and rejecting the Anointed One, they were not able to receive what the Anointed One had to provide for them. And we know that because it says in Mark, the sixth chapter, in the fifth verse, it says, and he, referring to Jesus, and he could not do a miracle there at all because of their unbelief. Except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And I believe the individuals that he laid his hands on were probably people who didn't reject him. But it looks like the majority of people within his hometown, they were rejecting him. And when a person rejects, they don't get to receive all of the benefits. He had people who rejected the power of Jesus, not understanding that it limited their ability to receive from him. Now, if that's in the Bible, that's for us as a warning to not make Jesus common in your life, as if, oh, it's just Jesus. And not to make anointed people who God has called common in your life. Because this could be you. God possibly called you and anointed you and blessed you, and he set you apart in your own family. In your own family, where God has given you the vision. You are the trailblazer. You are the deliverer, so to speak. You're not Jesus, but you're the deliverer. God has given you special instructions, special vision, special insight on how to lead your family out of something into where God wants y'all to be. And if everybody just do what God is calling them to do under your leadership, because God is not going to do anything except through a man or woman in this earth's realm who he calls. When a person rejects that, they're not going to be successful. If they don't receive what you have to say and they reject it, they won't receive what you have to offer by and through obedience, and their obedience and doing what God told them to do under your advisement. And it happens in families. It happens in families where God calls an individual, God sets that person apart. The family members might not know at that time what they have, but they will get a revelation of what it is, some way, shape, or form, where God lets them know, do what I say to do because I've called this person. I am y'all's God. I'm your father. But I've anointed this person to do something. Listen to them so you can get where you need to go. And you have some people within the family, after years of knowing it, but trying to suppress it or take that person's position and try to do what that person tries to do, they mess up not only their life in pride, but they mess up different future generations. Now, I've seen that firsthand, where God called someone to do something. Another family member saw the calling, co-signed with other family members who wanted to destroy the person who God called, but at the same time wanted to take that person's money and wanted that person to provide for them and talking to them behind other people's back to pay bills and help out and whispering, oh, you're just so blessed. I love you so much. But it's all a front and a lie because they want to take that position. They think that if I take the position that God has called you to, then I can be just as successful as you. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And like I said, I've seen this firsthand and, to be honest, experienced it. Where I've seen a person do this, try to take the leadership position for the family, led several families, because it's a family unit and it's several families associated with this one unit. That person did that. I'm talking about tore up people's lives, tore people's lives, tore people's households, even damaged. And I can't say damaged because God can restore anything, but they've impacted several people in several generations, their spiritual maturity. Let me say that. I don't think I'm wrong in saying that. They've impacted their spiritual maturity. Where they could have been further along spiritually in the things of God, but by this person getting in the way, messing things up and creating inroads for Satan to come in and try to steal, kill, destroy other individuals in a family bloodline, they've done that. All because they rejected what God was trying to give them. And then by them rejecting and trying to be the leader, king, so to speak, they don't get to receive what the, I'm giving you an example, what the true king offers. Because the true king, the true deliverer, they can't do any miracles there. They have to leave. They have to get out of there and go do what God told them to do somewhere else. But those people can't benefit from what God was trying to do within that family and within all of those generations connected to that family. And I believe some of you are going through that and you've experienced that within your own life. Not saying it's you personally, but you've seen or possibly seen people, some relatives, some siblings, where you've seen some people have done some things, or shoot, your grandparents, siblings, they've done some things, and you've seen how it's just really impacted generations. Not saying that you can't recover, and not saying that you're stuck, but you just see how people doing things they have no business doing because they rejected what God was trying to do in someone's life. It's not a game. And we don't want to do that. When God calls a person and God tells you, hey, I'm calling this person, but I want you to follow, that's what we're supposed to do. Make sure to read on your own 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 20th verse. Read that and meditate on that. That's serious. An example in the scripture is Moses. God called Moses, and God called his brother Aaron also. He was supposed to do what Moses told him to do. Ultimately do what God told him to do, but also do what the man of God, God put in his life to do. And we also read about what happened when he was about to go a different route. When God called Moses, and then you had Moses' sister and brother doing what some people do, which is basically the example that I gave, they start grumbling against the sibling. And that's in Numbers, the 12th chapter. You had Moses and, well, you didn't have it, but Moses and Aaron and Miriam went through a family situation because Miriam and Aaron were saying something to the effect of, I mean, did God only just speak through Moses? Is Moses God's spokesman? God can speak through anybody. That's, see, you're about to not receive some things based off of rejection. And the Lord corrected them. Father God corrected Miriam and Aaron behind that. Now the blessing is they repented and got back in line. But there's a danger when people don't repent. There's a danger. And it impacts generations. It impacts lives. It is so serious. That's why I'm encouraging you to read 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 20th verse, because whoever God calls, it could be your sister, your child, your grandchild, your spouse. When God calls that person to do something and God confirms that person and God confirms that you're supposed to be listening to that person so God can take you where you need to go and where he wants you to go, it's best you don't reject it. Because remember, we don't receive what we reject. It doesn't work that way. Let's look at Judas. You had Judas. Well, you didn't. I keep saying you had. But Judas rejected Jesus. And Jesus died for his sins. Jesus was coming to die for his sins too, but he rejected Jesus. And we know what he did not receive, what Jesus paid for. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to do that. If we go to Mark, the 4th chapter in the 23rd through the 25th verse, and I encourage you to read that on your own, but Jesus lets us know when people reject spiritual truth and spiritual wisdom, they don't get to receive the revelation of that wisdom that God's trying to provide to them. They don't get to receive that. You can't reject spiritual things, or one can't expect that when they reject spiritual things, they're going to receive this all-knowing, all-wise, all-revelatory information and insight. No. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. When a person rejects the power of God, what the Holy Spirit is doing, they don't get to receive all of what the Holy Spirit provides, what Jesus provided, what God provided for them. That's what I said earlier. If it works, if it goes like that or it goes down like that, in natural matters, with people rejecting what you're trying to do for them, and you know you're trying to bless them and do right by them, they might want to come around to make it look like they are able to receive. But no, I saw and heard and witnessed the fruit of their words and the fruit of their heart. They rejected that. They can't receive it. Now they need to go figure out how to go get it. Because they're not getting it from me. You're possibly thinking that. And you possibly thought about it in the past. Especially when it's time to put up boundaries between people. A person cannot receive what they reject. If a person is rejecting friendship from you, they can't receive friendship. They're rejecting you being a decent person, a decent friend to them, but they want to receive all the benefits. It didn't work like that. If it doesn't work in the natural, it doesn't work in the supernatural and the spiritual realm either. It just doesn't. And Jesus went straight to the point. You go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the 6th through the 7th verse. And really the 6th verse. Jesus says, do not give that which is holy to dogs. And do not throw your pearls before pigs, for they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. When a person is rejecting spiritual truths, spiritual matters, the things of God, which are pearls, sacred things, for their development, their spiritual maturity, their elevation. If they're rejecting that, they don't get to receive what comes with that. But if they're rejecting it, this is what they'll do. If you keep trying to give it to them to receive, they're going to destroy it. They'll trample what you gave them under their feet, and they'll turn and tear you to pieces. And don't people do that? Not even with sacred things, holy things. Once a person reveals that they've rejected you and you keep trying to do the very thing that they're rejecting over and over again, they will turn on you. They'll do that. They don't want it. Then they start throwing it down. Let me go back to the example with the chocolate.
Oh, what's this?
And turning up their nose, scrunching up their face, and eating it all slow and smacking just to show the disdain of what was in their mouth. They never spit it out, though.
But they, what's out? Ew, this chewy. It's, too much chocolate.
Just, okay. If it's too much chocolate, spit it out then. And say you don't like it. But they didn't do that. They want to show us. I'm going to put this underneath my feet. And they're turning to tear the person to pieces by the complaints. But by them doing that, you know what you can't give them? A pearl anymore. You can't get that pearl. You don't know what to do with that pearl. That pearl too much for you. And they just acting like dogs. But Jesus didn't say they were acting like dogs. He said, do not give which is holy to dogs. And he wasn't playing at all. And some people can be very doggish. Okay? The aim is not to reject what God is trying to get you to receive. Because once that is rejected, what God is trying to give you is rejected. You can't receive all that comes with it. Another example I want to provide is Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 14th through the 30th verse. I'm going to read a little of it and skip around for time's sake, but I encourage you to read this passage. Once again, it's Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 14th through the 30th verse. And it says, for it is just like a man, I'm starting at verse 14, for it is just like a man who was about to take a journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and then he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made a profit and gained 5 more. Likewise, the one who had 2 made a profit and gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted to me 5 talents. See, I have made a profit and gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. Also, the one who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have made a profit and gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. share in the joy of your master. The one who had received one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and demanding man, reaping the harvest where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid to lose the talent, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is your own. But his master answered him, You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reaped the harvest where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed. Then you ought to have put my money with the bankers, and at my return, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Now, I encourage you to read the last two verses on your own because I said I was going to skip around, but I didn't. I just didn't read the last two verses, 29 and 30. But you can see in this passage how God entrusted each one of these individuals with seed, with talent. And you had two who received what God gave them. And they maximized on what God gave them. And then there was one who rejected what God gave them. God gave them something to sow, to maximize, to grow, to water, so it can come to maturity. And that person rejected what they received from God. And when they rejected what God gave them, they were not able to receive what God had for them. If you look at the other two, the one who had the 5 talents and the one who had the 2 talents, they didn't reject what God gave them. They did not reject it at all. And by them not rejecting, they were able to receive more. And when they receive more, that's more profit, that's more increase, that's more abundance, that's more opportunities. That's more of what God wants to do in, through, to, and for a person. Just based off of obedience and faith and trusting God. Because they didn't reject what God was giving them. But the one who did reject, what they had was taken from them. It goes back to what I was mentioning or saying earlier. You have some people repent when they understand they rejected something from God. But then you have some who will walk in pride and make it look like it's all God's fault. Just like this one servant did. Told the master, I knew you to be harsh. Well, and demanding. Well, if they knew that, they still didn't even do what they were supposed to do. Because once again, that's a master-servant relationship. It's authority involved. And they blatantly showed their disrespect of what they were not going to do. And then talking to the master any type of way. And then lied and said, I was afraid. To be speaking that way to the master, of telling the master, of, I know what you're about. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to try to do and what I see you do. Shoot. So I took that little money you gave me and I hid it in the ground because I was scared. See, that didn't match up. And by that individual rejecting what God was, or the master was doing, they didn't get to receive like the other two. And the very thing that they treated as dirt and unworthy, it was taken from them and given to somebody who treasured the pearl. They treasured it. And God knew what they were going to do with it to glorify him and to bless others so others could be impacted by the power of God and the glory of God. But you see it right here, how somebody rejected what God was trying to do for them, for their family, for their sphere of influence. But they rejected it, and it impacted them to the point where it was taken away. This is not even equivalent to this, but I just thought about scenario of, not a scenario, it's a real life occurrence, but somebody asked me for some, or asked me to go get them some croissants. So I go get these croissants. And when I bring the croissants to them, they dogged the croissants, man. And I'm talking about, I went to an establishment to go get these. I didn't go get them from a ditch. Okay? I did not go get them from a ditch. I didn't go get them from the sewer. I didn't go get them from a muddy puddle. I went to an establishment to go get these croissants where people go make these croissants and they sell them daily. So I go get the croissants and I go give them to this individual. And the individual gets them, complains about the size, complains about how they are packaged, complains about the lack of freshness, saying they weren't fresh. And I do know in certain situations and circumstances that some establishments or somebody could have had a rough day. They didn't do something right. But I checked all of that before I even purchased them, making sure they were no. I checked stuff, okay? They complained about all that. Then they start complaining about the people who made the croissants, and I'm trying to figure out, you know them? Because I don't even know them. Complained about the establishment, complained about their standards, as if they just some, they went to school for croissants. They got a degree in croissants. I mean, doing all of that. Then rejecting it all around. So what I did is, well, they were complaining about it, and mind you, was eating the croissants daily, okay? It had about 2 days worth of eating the croissants, but the complaining was going on. So as they were complaining, I just went, got the croissants, and just dunked them in the trash. And when I did that, the complainer started, why you do that? What you mean, why? Why you do that, you know? I mean, what about the money? Who cares about the money? Who cares about how much they cost? Who cares about what I'm doing with them? Because remember, they're nasty, remember? You didn't buy them. They're not to your, you know, croissant ethical standards. So you say, you don't get to receive a refund for something you rejected and you didn't purchase? Ask me if I purchased croissants for them ever again. No, I didn't. But just with that example, they rejected something, they don't get to receive it. The trash can received it. It was taken from them and given to the trash. That's what happened. Now, praise God that he doesn't throw his gifts in the trash. Somebody else is going to receive it. The person who rejected it, it's an opportunity for somebody else to receive it. And this is letting us know we don't want to get caught up in all the things God has done for us and all the things that God is doing for us and how God is going to manifest himself in us, to us, through us, and for us. We don't want to get caught up looking at how things are not going according to our ways or our thoughts, or something may be uncomfortable and a person can start walking in pride and impatient about some things and they miss out on what God is doing, or they're not walking in the leadership of the Holy Spirit and they reject something. Once that rejection takes place, they don't get to receive what God had for them in that way. And I say that because if a person repents and they go to God and they let God, Lord, I didn't mean that. I didn't know. Forgive me. Give me another chance. I'll do what I need to do. We have a loving Father who will give us another chance. And he'll give us another chance for him to manifest himself in us, to us, through us, and for us. So we can walk as ambassadors. But we don't want to limit God. We don't want to limit God. Because if we limit God, we'll limit what God is trying to do for us. Another example I thought about, or the Holy Spirit reminded me of, is Naaman. You read 2 Kings, the 5th chapter in its entirety, you know, about Naaman having leprosy. He had an issue, and he almost limited God because of his thoughts and his ways. What he thought something should be and the way it should have gone. And he was about to reject what God was going to do for him because he wasn't about to receive what the prophet, the man of God, told him to do in order for him to be successful. So he was about to reject God and reject the words of God for his particular situation. But praise God that somebody had enough insight and foresight to go tell him, hey, you might want to do what the Lord tells you to do, whether it be great or small, or whether it be according to your thoughts and your plans. Just do what God says to do so you can receive what God has for you. Don't reject it. Somebody told him that. He did what God told him to do, and he received all God had for him. But he was about to restrict himself based off of rejecting what God was telling him to do. And that is what we need to be mindful of, not rejecting what God is trying to get us to receive, all because it's not going according to our plans. It's not going according to our way. It's not going according to our thoughts. But God already told us his ways are not our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. So wherever God is leading you to, and don't forget to read 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 20th verse. But wherever God is leading you, what you want to do is receive what he's saying. Don't reject what he's saying. And don't reject what he's telling you to do. Because you do want to receive all he has for you, even though you can only see a speck of what's going on. You don't have the full picture, but you can see a speck. Thing is to walk in faith and not reject what God is doing for you, because you don't want to walk in restrictions and you don't want to be restricted. And if a restriction comes based off of a rejection, just go ahead and repent so you can receive all God has for you, because we do have a loving Father, and that's something that you don't want to forget. And if anybody listening is tired of rejecting God, they're tired of being restricted, they're tired of not receiving all God has for them, this is a perfect opportunity, if you are not, to be born again, so you can receive all of the benefits God has for you when you walk in obedience and trust and faith in his power and in his love for you and what he wants to do in you, to you, through you, and for you. So if you want, if you are not saved, and if you are not born again, I encourage you to take that step of faith and boldness and repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I recognize that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross just for me. I also believe that you raised Jesus from the dead with all power in his hands. Father God, I'm asking that you forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I am inviting you to come live on the inside of me. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Father God, thank you for accepting me into your family and your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that I am at this very moment born again in Jesus' name. So, congratulations. I encourage you to join a Bible-believing church. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place. Ask the Holy Spirit to unfold the truth to you, the truth of God's Word, the truth of Father God, the truth of Jesus, and the truth of the Holy Spirit himself, so that you can be led by him to do what God has called you to do and walk in receiving what God has for you and not rejecting what God has for you. And congratulations. And I hope this directional aim blessed you. I pray that the Holy Spirit breathes on it and unfolds some things that you needed to see as your relationship with Jesus and your understanding of Jesus and Father God grows into a dynamic harvest where you're impacting other people. Okay? Peace and God bless.